Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcasting live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Why don't you just give them a call? 888-FARMERS, and you can start saving instantly on auto insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Okay, another day, another time to react to what clearly is a trend in the NFL, which is the unhappy quarterback who's not likely to be moved, who wants to explore the possibility. I said this yesterday that I do like Russell Wilson a great deal, but what I don't think is possible is or reasonable is the Seattle Seahawks moving on from Russell Wilson. There is a speculatory discussion to have. We'll go in a second, but I found it at minimum interesting that that there were four teams put out there where Russell Wilson would consider, and three of those teams don't have a quarterback under contract. And of course, what I said yesterday, and this is kind of the reality of what I've gotten from people in the NFL. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio, broadcasting from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. What's interesting is, one, well, look, it allows us to speculate. And two, he essentially came up with a list. And I said this yesterday, if you missed it, it's lots of people have had this discussion with their significant other. Usually it's tongue planted firmly in cheek, but sometimes there's a little bit of truth to it. It's like, look, what's your list? Like your dream list. You know, you got Clooney, you got Lenny Kravitz, you kind of go through the list of like, who are the best looking dudes? You're like, all right. And so then, of course, immediately the guy thinks of his list. You're like, okay, Mila Kunis. And you start to think, of all these different names of women. And then there gets the second one to where like, wait a second, hold on. Wait, are you serious about this list? You're like, well, not really, but could I be? Well, why don't you have pick said star? Why don't you have Halle Berry come and get you a beer? Or, you know, hey, honey, we want to go out for a drink? Why don't you ask Halle Berry to go out for a drink? And that's really where Seattle is right now. You know, that as much as this is a clear battle of wills, I want to do it my way. And I think the world is gray. It is not black and white. It is just not. I understand that sports talk has become political talk, where one person's on the left and one person's on the right, and LeBron's either the greatest ever or he's a bum. But the truth is, there's a lot of gray to it. Should you listen to Russell Wilson? Absolutely. Should he be making personnel decisions? Absolutely not. You know, we all like to say, well, Tom Brady did. Like, okay, but Tom Brady didn't pick the offensive linemen. They were already picked. Tom Brady didn't pick the wide receivers. They were already picked. Yeah, he got to bring Rob Gronkowski with him. That's his boy. He happened to be in retirement, still under contract, and he found a way to make it work. And Antonio Brown, and I told you before, I'm sure that ticked him off. He's sitting there going like, we could have had Antonio Brown. He wanted to work out with me. He wanted to play with me, and the Seattle Seahawks didn't want to keep him. That's because the Seattle Seahawks are sitting there going like, dude, we cannot have, he is a train wreck off the field. Whereas Brady could say, he can live with me, he'll be under my watchful eye, he's from the state of Florida, but we're in Tampa, we're away from some of the nonsense, I'll make it, find a way to make it work. Like Seattle, politically and Tampa politically are two totally different places. And for Russell Wilson to not understand that, it's just obtuse to the reality, right? I mean, it's the same reason that New England couldn't hold on to Antonio Brown. One, every day there was something else coming out. And two, remember the owner had his deal, like, we can't treat women and children this way and expect for it to be okay. And Tampa was like, we just want to win. We don't care. Just make sure he doesn't get in trouble. It's eight games and playoffs. The world is gray. It's not black and white. And the gray area is all these people, well, you got to listen to Russell Wilson. Like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Do you have to at least nod? And this is, I have this discussion all the time with people. Well, you know, why are we having a discussion if you're going to do it your way? Like, no, we have a discussion, but ultimately somebody has to make a decision. And just because we have a meeting of the minds does not mean that you get your way or any one person always gets their way. You have a discussion, and then ultimately somebody has to make a decision. And guess what? Russell Wilson doesn't make those decisions. And the agent playing this game through the media, like, you know the reality of it. They're not giving him up. They're not trading a guy because, as we told you yesterday, the hit rate on first-round draft picks is like 53%. And that's not even counting quarterbacks, let alone superstar quarterbacks. So you think they're going to just give him up for three first-round picks? No, it's got to be a player. Got to be players coming back, which, okay, now comes the fun part. For the record, I don't believe for one second, that they're going to trade Russell Wilson. This is one of those, you just got to kind of withstand stuff and be like, okay, got it, noted. Right, because remember, the same guys running the franchise, the same guys coaching the franchise, are the same guys that had the foresight and wherewithal to select Russell Wilson, even though others passed. And then they had the foresight to build the entire thing around Russell Wilson. So what Russell Wilson is saying is, hey, these guys are smart enough to draft me, but dumb enough to not put me in an advantageous situation where I can win another championship. Does anybody else see that as hypocritical? But let's speculate for a second. All right, there's four teams. There's the Bears. There's the Raiders. There's the Saints. There's the Cowboys. Right? So, of those teams, Derek Carr is working towards an extension. Would you rather have Russell Wilson than Derek Carr? Of course you would. Russell Wilson's a better quarterback than Derek Carr. So much so that you're going to upend your entire franchise? No. Now, the Raiders have worked hard to rebuild their entire franchise, and though Carr has some limitations, Carr actually had a pretty good season. Russell Wilson kind of struggled, and they have so many other, they got to fix the defense. Like, the offense is not what doesn't need to be fixed. My guess is the Vegas infatuation is about, one, playing for Gruden, you know, who people still see as a great offensive mind, and look what he can do with Derek. If he can do that with Derek Carr, what can he do with me? And they have a legit running game, and they've rebuilt that offensive line. But I think Vegas is a major pull in that. Right, that his wife is a performer, and this would allow them to live in Vegas and be, and even though Derek Carr has played a season as the Vegas Raiders quarterback, because there hasn't been any fans, it hasn't yet hit. Next year, it is going to hit. It is going to be a thing. It is going to be a happening in Las Vegas. Mark that down. All right, the Cowboys. It's the Cowboys. Plus, they have weapons galore. But Russell Wilson wants, when you're in Seattle, you feel like you're in a different country. And I'm sure he's a guy who loves the attention, who loves the spotlight. In addition to which, he probably looks at what they're throwing out there and says, I'm a better version of Dak. If I was in that offense, I could throw for 5,000 yards. Same thing happens with the Saints. And with the Bears, I would guess it's market size, it's defense, it's quarterback starved. And imagine what the Bears would look like if they had a quarterback. The only one that really makes sense is the Cowboys and trading Dak. And I would actually love it for Dallas. I just wouldn't give up any picks in return. Maybe one. it takes the Dak Prescott contract off of our books, and it makes Russell Wilson's already under contract, and you can kick that can down the road in terms of when you want to redo his contract. It's the only one that makes sense. The problem with it, though, is I feel like the Cowboys are emotionally committed to Dak Prescott as their quarterback. And while so many fans think of the glitz and the glamour to going out and getting an elite quarterback who's actually won a Super Bowl as opposed to one who hasn't won the playoffs, imagine what it says to players in that locker room where, you know, you're drafted, you don't make a bunch of money, you're franchise tagged once, and then when something bigger, brighter, and better comes along, you jettison that guy to get the latest and greatest thing. There is, in fact, loyalty in sports, and you got to be very careful if you can upset the chemistry of a locker room simply by going after the bright, shiny object. KJ Wright's a star linebacker with the Seattle Seahawks. This was his reaction to all this discussion on the NFL Network.
I was kind of caught off guard myself, but, you know, looking back at it, Russ isn't going anywhere. As long as I'll be in Seattle, Russ is going to be the quarterback. And he means too much to us. He means way too much to this organization. He means way too much to this city. And usually people want to come to Seattle, not leave Seattle. And so I'm sure that him and the organization will get things figured out. He's somebody that, you know, I admire and love playing with. And so I expect Russ to be a Seahawks for a very long time.
I tend to agree with him. I think this is all huff and bluster. And like everybody, this is why star players generally don't even watch the Super Bowl, because they just get ticked off watching it. The NFL had him go and sit with the commissioner, and he's watching Antonio Brown and Tom Brady. He's like, that should be me.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Whew. Woo. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show, live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. Art Rooney. Sorry, that's Ferris Bueller's day off. Art Rooney released another statement today. Quote, we think Ben Roethlisberger, played at a high level last year. We won our division, set a franchise record for most consecutive wins to open a season. Ben was as disappointed as anybody the way it ended. Ben wants to come back and leave on a high note. We're still confident he has the ability to do that. His arm, I would say, is strong, or almost as strong as ever. So I think he's certainly capable of getting the job done. That's an almost a spit out your coffee type of thing, right? And look, the idea that his arm is as strong as it was earlier in his career is kind of laughable. But he did seemingly learn to manage some of his shortcomings later in the season. And nobody cares what you start, what how you finish. And they finished poorly. And he seemed to age. And he's not moving much. But this is the, this, by the way, is the tack they should have taken a long time ago. I spoke with people close to the Steelers camp. I mean, it goes to Ben's camp. And they said, like, look, we haven't even begun to talk dollars. But this is basically what the what's come of the meeting is like, hey, we're going to have to dial you back. The negotiating in public is really weird and really interesting. And even though Ben hasn't agreed to any sort of terms, it does feel like that statement wouldn't have been released if the Steelers didn't feel really good about where they can get to financially with him. Because the truth is that I don't think they really want Ben back all that much unless it's at a massive, massive discount. And then you live with his shortcomings and you play up the fact that he's done it. He won two Super Bowls. He's a Steeler for life. And you do the best you can building the team around him to support him and hide some of his inadequacies. You know, the truth is the only things that really matter is not what's said, it's what's done. And by done, I mean twofold. One, what's the number on his rework contract and length? But really, it feels like a one-year deal that'll be turned into two or three so they can lessen the burden of the dead cap hit. And two, what do they do with their draft picks, right? If they really believe that Big Ben has one more run in him, then they probably keep all their wide receivers. They rebuild their offensive line in the draft. They work through. They use the money that he has left over for some of their unsigned guys. And they doled out the least amount of cash last year of any team in the NFL. They dole out some cash and they try and run it back one more time. If they think Ben is done, then they use as early a pick as possible to take a quarterback and they just ride this thing out until ultimately they have to replace him next year. That's the guess.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio coming to you from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Byer, where are you on the Russell Wilson stuff? I mean, you and I yesterday we're lockstep in the you're not trading him. He's not going anywhere. Does anything you've heard change that?
To me, like both Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, I think are at fault. And so to hear, to hear them both digging in their heels of what they want to do just seems to be the opposite of what you would need to do. I mean, like, I think there's arguments on both sides for sure, but to see them both wanting their way doesn't bode well for Seahawks fans. Let's put it that way.
Nope. No, it does not. Let's welcome in John Middlecoff, who joins us. Three and Out is his podcast. I was driving the other night. I listened to his last one in its entirety. And he did a great thing on Carson Wentz. You should download it. Three and Out is the podcast on the Herd Podcast Network. Also, you can check out my All Ball podcast with my man Max Hooper is my guest this week. Okay, what do you make of what's going on in Seattle?
My take, and I talked about this on the podcast today, is I just think you got two guys who are really good at their job, Pete and Russ, and have enormous egos, and there is no person to really stand between them and fix this, right? It's a tough spot for the GM because, I mean, he works for Pete, right? He can't go rogue and go with Russ, even though he was a driving force for Russ. And I think as we've seen over the last several years, I mean, he's a scout at heart. He liked Mahomes. He likes Josh Allen. Like, he's every GM has a little Daryl Morey, Al Davis to him, right? Always looking to upgrade. That's just the way they're wired. And I know Collins talked about this, that the owner passing away was always kind of the intermediary, you know, obviously he pays both of them, where he could just, you know, interject. And that human does not exist. And I think we've all known people, I'm sure it's definitely happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to you, where your ego can get the best of you, and it's hard to swallow your pride in the moment. And say this for Russell Wilson. I think he's trying to go Deshaun Watson in his own kind of like PC PR campaign, and the Seattle's got to be pretty infuriated. Like, it's one thing to ask for a trade, just come to them. I mean, they've had a long-standing successful relationship. The way he's doing it, like, no one faults Deshaun, right? Houston's are a disaster. Seattle's not a disaster. Seattle's a highly functioning, winning organization. And it clearly feels Russell, like, I don't think how you could even argue that he kind of wants out right now. And he's kind of using the public and the media to do it, but try to also kind of cover his bases. Like, I love the place, but, you know, I'm kind of open.
Yeah, I'm not gonna demand to be traded. But if I was traded, you know what that I said that was. That's the list that you try with your girlfriend or your wife. You know, she tries with you. Like, what's your list? You know, the hall pass list. Hall pass list? Yeah. You know, like, you're never gonna meet this Hollywood star, but if you did, I'd have to give you a pass. Like, Cowboys, Bears, Raiders, Saints, like, and inevitably that ends poorly, right? In that,
Start leaking the teams, I mean, I'm kind of leaning that he's not going to be on the team next year.
Here's the thing. 3 first round draft picks does not a superstar quarterback make, right? Hit rate is 53% on first round picks, and that's not even trying to factor in quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
So, Three first round picks, which has not been traded for anybody, right? And player, like, who's going to do that? Plus, if you're like, why would Seattle do it? Why? We had them under contract. We made the playoffs last year. We got to get better.
100%. And that's where I go back to ego. What if Pete goes, okay, we'll give you your way. And there's the one team, and I don't know why maybe he was doing his team a favor. I do think the Raiders make some sense. They can give him a quarterback in Derek Carr, who's way cheaper, and who actually, they just hired the Rams offensive coordinator. I think I remember Kyle Shanahan when he was in Cleveland really liked Derek. Derek makes a lot of sense in the offense that ultimately Pete wants to run. He's been having success in Gruden's offense, which is very similar, right? Run first, then throw off the play action. And what if you get Derek, who's worth, as we've seen reported, they get a first-round pick for him right now, and 3 other first-round picks? Like, would that be enough if you were just kind of over it and ready to kind of hit reset, but also still wanting to win?
But why would the Raiders do that? That's not the Raiders have to rebuild their defense, and they can't rebuild
Gruden's crazy. Okay. I mean, I don't think I wouldn't do that if I was them. But that John Gruden, we've seen, does not operate from logic, and Russell is dramatically better in his mind, I'm sure, than Derek. So I just think it would be a possibility. I'm not saying I would do it, but I would imagine that Seattle, if they were open to it, could get the most from the Raiders.
Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. What would you do if you were the Cowboys with the Dak situation?
Well, I'm going to start with the Cowboys and Russell Wilson. It makes no sense for the Russell's way better than Dak, and he's cheaper. So, like, I see a lot of people, well, Dak, pick 10, and next year's one. Why would the Cowboys want Dak? He wants huge cash, right? They're already paying a better player a little less money, so that doesn't make much sense. I think the Cowboys, I give them credit. They've just slow played this. They still don't have the answers. Other people in his similar kind of vein, right, Goff, Wentz, were paid early and were a disaster for the team. You know, we'll see how he looks coming off the injury. And I know a lot of people get really mad. This is why guys want long-term contracts. Well, he's going to get $70 million in 2 years. Like, that's generational money. And he's made a ton of money for being the Cowboys quarterback off the field. He's already hit the jackpot. Obviously, he could make more, and he probably, I'm sure, will. But I think that I give the Cowboys credit for not giving in to Dak Prescott in terms of, I wouldn't want to pay Dak Prescott $35 million a year. Now, ideally, I don't want to pay him $37 this year on the franchise tag, but at least I'm not tied long term.
Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of the one and only, the incomparable. You like that?
I like that.
Man, the incomparable. John Middlecoff joins us. Okay, what about Deshaun? The Texans, as of now, keep hanging up the phone on people. What should they do?
I don't really know what else Deshaun can do right now at the end of February, right? There's no practices or the season's not a long way away. He's made his desire clear, right? He can't. There's nothing else he can do. I guess he could go like scorched earth and do a sit down and really make it even more public. But I think it's pretty clear. It's pretty public. So it's just on them, I guess, to capitulate his demands, right? To give in and to start opening up. But I just think these New England Patriot guys are not always the easiest once they dig in on the other side. We've seen it, you know, with the Patricias and the McDaniels. When they want a guy gone, he's gone. But I think when you look at the opposite, when they're dead set on keeping a guy, especially under contract, who is by far, you know, the most talented player on their team now, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're going to give in anytime soon. But if this is not going to be salvageable, and I think we'll have a little more information, we'll probably find out by the time free agency starts and the league year and all the all the money is set, what's going to happen in OTAs and workouts. And if teams are able to open their doors and at least like let guys lift and stuff, and he's not showing up, maybe that helps them realize, especially if they had like 95% attendance, it might be the best thing, because you don't want to have to trade him in the fall. You want to trade him right now so you get Miami or the Jets pick, right, so you can make a pick. Or just get the most from whoever and use one of these picks on a player, not do it like, and we've talked about this before, Jamal Adams, Khalil Mack, trade him in training camp, because then you basically lose that asset all season long for nothing until the next draft. So if you are going to trade him, and I know they claim, we never have these conversations. Like, what else are you guys talking about? I mean, this would be what I'd figure out. I don't even think anyone would blame them, right? Like, if Pete trades Russell, Pete would take some heat. Like, he didn't have to do that the way Russ publicly is not demanding it. Like, this one would be like, okay, listen, we got 3-1s and 2-2s. We just had to bite the bullet, and he didn't want to play here. There's nothing else we could do. We got a lot for him. I think at least fans wouldn't be happy, but they would understand, you'd think. So I think he ends up getting traded probably closer to the draft, not free agency, at least the way that they're kind of leaking their process.
You know, what's interesting is if he went to the Jets, like suddenly it's amazing to me. Like, well, I don't like the owner. Like, you like the Jets owner? Right? Are you sure you're running from a problem to another problem? Like, well, it's a dysfunctional.
Don't you think that's a little just an easy thing for him to say? There's clearly more than that, right? He just doesn't want to be there for whatever reason. Is it just strictly the owner? Like, I don't even believe that.
I don't believe that either. Most of these guys don't. It's not like you need to get along with the owner.
Like, you barely even see the guy.
Correct. You see the guy on his signature on the check, and then every once in a while you got to, you know, you got to say hi to him and pretend like you guys are boys, because people act
like they spend time like you would with the quarterback coach or something. You may have like two conversations with them a season, you know, depending on the team. I mean, Robert Kraft or Jerry, obviously more, but I bet McNair's.
But even David kid. Jerry, you're not hanging out with the owner. You're not hanging out. He writes the check. He comes out of the locker room and he shows you off and he's like, these are my boys. These are all my guys. This is my team. I love them. And you're like, oh, we got the greatest owner ever. Like, nobody actually has.
You're not going to
a
house for dinner once a week.
No, no. It's the dumbest thing ever, right? And even the Jack Easterby thing, it's like, all right. Like, they hired a very competent football guy. Now, you hired a head coach that no one thought was.
I think the Easterby thing is more just he doesn't trust the organization, like what they're doing with his teammates, and everyone's walking on eggshells a little bit, which I would understand. That, to me, that would be the thing he should come out and say. This guy has way too much juice in our organization. I don't trust him, right?
Yeah.
That'd be the tactic I would take. Then, saying the owner, it's like, well, I'm with you there.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so what about Darnold? What do you think they do there?
I actually think they keep him, because I talking to people with the Jets and talking to people just with other teams during the season, the gap was so wide between Trevor and just the rest of the crew. And Darnold, they basically, if you pick up his fifth-year option, have him on a two-year, $30 million contract. And it seems like Kyle Shanahan, like the Niners, like him, because Sam Darnold is kind of made for that scheme, right? Well, what are the Jets going to run? That scheme. So you can take the second pick. You can maybe trade back a couple spots, get a sweet player. You have another first-round pick because you have Seattle's for Jamal Adams, and start building the team. And maybe next year you're just way more competitive with a guy that has a bunch of reps in the league, that was once a top three pick. That, yeah, I mean, he's been very, very hit or miss. But part of the reason this new administration is there, because those guys, the coaches, were viewed as terrible. So I think when the dust settles, my gut says Sam Darnold stays, unless they could get like a haul for him. But I think you can nitpick all three of these quarterbacks, and given where they're drafting at number two, it's just I like a lot of these quarterbacks at like 10 to 12. At two, there's a pressure that comes with being the second overall pick that I don't know, man. I wouldn't want to do it. I like Justin Fields, but I like him at 12 for the Niners. I wouldn't like it if they had to trade up till two for him.
Yeah, no question. I think, though, that, okay, so, but what about, would you trade for Deshaun Watson? Would you give up all that, all those draft picks for Deshaun Watson?
I would think about doing that, because then you get, I mean, an established star who's 25 years old. And there is.
Isn't it too easy to just go like, okay, Garoppolo to Houston, Watson to New York, Darnold to the Niners, and then let's figure out the compensation for each, specifically to Houston.
I think if Houston was openly talking, because clearly like the Jets and the Dolphins and the Niners, like these teams are like open for business. If Houston doesn't pick up your phone calls or have legitimate conversation, it's hard to do this stuff, right? I'm talking even talk it out and present these ideas, because I'm sure these ideas are coming about between these GMs, between each other. They just need Houston to play. And I saw a headline yesterday that teams are leaving their offers on Houston's voicemail. You know, it's typically, even if a team is not like you got Michael Jordan on your team, you don't have to trade them. But if someone calls you, you know, you put your feet up on your desk and you listen a little bit. It is pretty nuts that they're not even listening. And it does feel like they're trying to do that to Deshaun. Like, hey, bro, you got to stay. To me, that limits all these other teams and some of their ideas, because you don't want to pull the trigger if you're like the Niners or whoever on trading for Darnold when you might be able to get Deshaun Watson, right?
Here's a legit question getting ready for the draft. John Middlecoff is our guest. Of course, he used to be a scout, also worked in college football, worked in the NFL as well. Three and Out is the podcast. Download it. I encourage you to do so. You know, one of the things that I haven't heard anybody talk about is a lot of kids didn't play this year, right? And you didn't have a full season. So it's really kind of hard to determine how good some of the kids that did play were, as well as some of the guys that didn't play are, considering they don't have a year of football. How hard do you believe it's going to be to scout these kids getting ready for the upcoming draft?
I think like the top, you know, a guy that would have gone in the top 20 that sat out, Ja'Marr Chase, the tackle from Oregon, Penei Sewell, it's irrelevant that they didn't play. But I think a guy that either was viewed as a potential first-round pick that had a bad season, or a guy that had a really good season that kind of came out of nowhere, you're going to need your scouting department and whoever, because they couldn't go into the school, to really do deep dives on, well, this guy played terribly these two games, mainly because they didn't practice for those 2 weeks, right? The amount of information and just chasing, hopefully you attempted to do it during the season, but it was hard because the NFL didn't let any of the scouts go into schools. It just made like a universal kind of a rule to just make it kind of put everyone on an equal footing. It's probably pretty hard to pick up with that. You know, it could be one of those things. You know, Justin Fields was awful against Northwestern. Well, part of it was like his left guard and left tackle couldn't practice that week because of contact tracing. Definitely in the Pac-12 that was happening left and right. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're just going to have unanswered
but even
questions.
Like even the Alabama, as good as the Alabama kids are, right, they were all back from the previous year. They had a veteran at quarterback. They were all good. And they didn't have shutdowns, right? When their coach got sick, they kept him away and they kept practicing. Like it, I'm just wondering if they're really that good.
I think it's easier for those two guys, though, because they were good, right? I mean, Jalen Waddle could have gone drafted in the first round last year.
Right.
Smith, you know, is just a really, really talented player. Mac Jones, you know, that's one. To me, he's one of the more polarizing evaluations because he might just be good. Yes. But he also might just really benefit from being basically on an all-star team, right?
That's
he's got two top 15 wide receivers and a sweet running back.
Is it a Leinart thing, right, where he's just surrounded by so many dudes it's hard to see? Is he that good or is he
but
not
is,
that
isn't
good?
Isn't that the draft a little bit, though? I mean, it's all somewhat of a guessing game. There's just
but
more questions.
But it's maybe
You're
even,
right.
more of a, even more of a guessing game this year is my question.
I agree.
Hmm. All right. New pod dropped?
Yeah, new pod dropped this morning.
Tiger ever play golf again?
I don't know, man. It's I was thinking about this yesterday going for a walk. If you were going to get in a terrible car crash that was going to hurt your legs, you'd either want to be in Palo Alto or close to UCLA. So, I mean, I think he's very, very lucky that it just, you know, a lot of these tour events, he could have been in Memphis or, you know, some random city. Like, he did get to go to just the best of the best, right? So at least, you know, if there is a chance, he did, I'm sure his doctor that fixed him immediately was just elite. So I would lean no. And I'm not into counting Tiger out just because of how devastating. I mean, I had to Google some of the words in his statement. You know, I didn't even know what some of the stuff meant, and then I Googled it, and it was not good.
Yeah, so, no, I have a really close friend who's a very talented orthopedic surgeon, and he was just like, you know, there's some Alex Smith stuff to this thing. They got to guard against infection, and he's like, and I haven't, you know, I don't know about the people aren't even factoring in the back surgery, how this hurts the rehab.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and we all think like, well, it's golf. The Havenchamps were playing, and they were 90 years old in Caddyshack. Yet, like, no, we're talking competitive golf where
he's got injuries.
He's got other injuries.
Even before this, that were much more like an NFL player than like any golfer, right? You know, knees and backs and Achilles rips and the other thing is, anyone that knows someone that's been into a car crash in a collision like that, that rattles all your bones. Right,
yep.
Even the ones that don't get hurt.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's John Middlecoff, 3 and Outs, the podcast. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers, Truck, Fire Insurance, Exchanges, or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcast live from the Fox Sports Radio Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Beyer, what do you got? Beyer.
Doug, the game today is
psychic.
All right, looking ahead to some scenarios. You started, you had this in the first part of the show, psychic. But will Ben Roethlisberger's arm hold up through the 2021 season?
Yeah, his arm will hold up. I don't know how good it'll be, but he'll hold up. Like, I don't think it's going to like evaporate.
Sure. Sure, that would be
it'll hold up, story.
It'll
hold down.
That would probably lead a Doug Gottlieb show if his arm evaporated.
I was just thinking of a word, right?
Yeah.
Somebody pick that up. What is it? That's Ben Roethlisberger's arm. It just fell off.
On the floor.
Jesus, it's on the floor.
Oh.
Ew. Ben Roethlisberger. Do you know what that's been? Ew. It's like wiggling all over the place.
No.
Gangrenous. What else you got?
Psychic, will Ryan Fitzpatrick be a starting quarterback in 2021?
Yes, but not initially. Okay. I love this. Like, I want to go, like, Ryan Fitzpatrick should just go like, hey, I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm going to do the Ryan Fitzpatrick thing, which means go somewhere, pressure the starter, guy gets hurt or plays poorly, and he gets to start a game. Somebody who strikes out on all the quarterbacks. I mean, like, Denver does make sense if they don't, if they, they're not able to make a move for a guy, and they don't know exactly what, he backs up Drew Lock, and eventually he replaces Drew Lock.
Psychic, will the NBA logo ever change to Kobe Bryant?
No. I mean, this whole like, look, Kobe was a great player. Okay. I personally became friends with Kobe. He's not a top five player all time. And there were some things that were done, which it's just really hard to have him be the actual face of the league. Right. It just is. So it sounds good, you know, but the reality is that's not going to happen.
Doug, some conference tournaments already beginning in college basketball will get into full swing in the next a week or so. Will schools drop out of their conference tournaments in the next week or so to prepare maybe or to be safe for the NCAA tournament?
No. Will they drop out of the conference tournaments?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think it's all huff and blood. They need those conference tournaments to fulfill their TV obligations. And as much as you're like, well, it's all about the money. Yes. How do you think they fund these programs? They're hemorrhaging money. They have, you know, they have these facilities they've built for these same programs that they need the money for. They're all going to play.
Finally, Doug, will either San Diego State or Boise State make it to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament?
I think they both will. I think, and I've become Mr. Mountain West, right? 3 games in 3 days, 4 and 5 days. But I mean, they all have NBA caliber players. They have older players. They're good teams. They're better than some of the teams in the Midwest and the East Coast that are getting some love.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.